In our church, if you're visiting, we break into small groups, and we like to get to know each other. If you come to church and then you go home and you didn't meet anybody, I think we missed the whole point of God's family gathering together. So in a few minutes, we're going to break into groups of 6 to 8 people, and we're going to talk about something that is very dear and important to all of us. If you could throw it up on the screen, Caitlin. Today's question is, what motivates you to get out of bed in the morning? I know sometimes it's the person beside me kicking me. Hey, it's time to get up, right? What motivates you to get out of bed in the morning? So if you could break into groups of 6 or 8, introduce yourself to each other, and talk about this. Well, if I could get your attention back at the front. I know we love visiting. It's always good to meet someone new, but we have a couple other things we want to go through, and we'll come back to these groups. We have been reading through the book of Acts. If you don't know where that is, it's about halfway through the New Testament in your Bible. It's right after Jesus left from the earth, and it's the story of the early church and the spread of the gospel. We are in our 7th week. Isn't that crazy? 7 weeks we've been reading through this, and what an amazing journey it's been. We've seen the stories of these heroes of our faith, people like Paul and Silas and Barnabas and Lydia, and guys like Stephen and James who have given their lives for the faith. And as we come into this 7th section, into these last few chapters of the book of Acts, I think God wants us to be thinking about our role in the story. There was this influential leadership book in the last few years, and the title of it was intriguing to me. This is what the book was. It said, "Start with why." Start with why. In other words, it's not always about the what and the who and the where. It's really about the why. And I think that's where we need to get in this session together. Not so much what are the details of our lives, the who, the where, the what, but what is the why of our lives? What is our overriding purpose? What is most valuable to us in life? And one thing we're going to see as Acts come to a close is that Paul, the Apostle Paul, he knew his why. He was on a mission. He knew there was a promise. He knew there was a purpose, and there was power. And he knew that it was all about why he was there, here, there, and everywhere, spreading the gospel. And he knew his why was to fulfill the mission of carrying the name of Jesus to the ends of the earth. And for him, it got very, very specific. We can see at the end of the book of Acts, for him, it became about Rome. Paul wanted to make it to Rome. Well, why? Because he knew if he made it to Rome, then he made it to the ends of the earth. Remember the commission we were given? To go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth? There was this infrastructure that was set in place, already in motion in Rome. And if you knew about the Roman road system, the Roman roads could take you anywhere on planet Earth. And Paul thought, if I can get to Rome, if the gospel can get to Rome, if the story of resurrection comes alive in Rome, then it's going to spread out and go everywhere on the earth. So this, his why mission, specifically Rome, and he would do anything to get there. And if we want to join Paul on that why, and we want to join him in this mission, then 4 things would be true about our lives. Number 1, we are going to have a new mindset. We're going to have a new value that trumps, overrides every other value in our lives. And that mindset is going to be this: the most significant thing that I could ever do with my life is to help another person come to Jesus. I want to say that one more time because we're going to come to the same place that Paul arrives, and we're going to believe that the most significant thing we can do with our lives is to help another person come to life. More important than building a business or raising a family or having the greatest adventure that you can have on planet Earth. The most significant thing that you can do with your few moments here on Earth is to be part of seeing somebody else come to life in Jesus Christ. Listen to the way that Paul said it. This is Acts 20, 24. Here's what he says. My life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. His mind was set, and that new mindset has to be true of me and of you. So the question is going to hang over us today. What is the most significant thing in my life? What are my goals? What is my why? If we went around the circle right now, it would probably be about the where or the who. This is what I do. Or this is where I live. This is who I'm married to. These are who my friends are. This is where I want to be in life. But what if we went around the circle right now and the question simply was, what is your why? What wakes you up? What motivates you? What is the win for you? What's the highest value to you? And to join Paul in this mission and to join him in his why, to do that, we would have to have a new mindset. The second thing that has to be true about you and me is that we have to make and we have to keep our yes on the table. We're going to see in these last few chapters that Paul strikes out again. And this time he goes to Jerusalem. And when he arrives in Jerusalem, he's met by a prophet. His name is Agabus. And Agabus has a message for him. He shows him the message by taking a rope and actually binding his hands. And he says, Paul, this is what's ahead for you. This is what you have to look forward to. But Paul had already put his yes on the table. And so when Agabus gives him that message, you've got hardship ahead. You got prison again. It's in the story for you. Paul didn't back up. He didn't back away because his mindset had already been changed and his highest value was already established. But Paul said, it doesn't matter to me. If that's what's in my future, I'm still going to say yes because my why is set. And I think a lot of times we say to God, well, God, I want to be obedient. I want to be in your plan, God. I want to be in your story. I want to do what you want me to do. But boy, God, would it be helpful if you could give me the blueprint or show me how it's going to work out, at least the next couple steps, and tell me who's going along in the journey with me, or, you know, give me a PowerPoint presentation and what I have to look for. You could chart it out, God. You know the future. You could do that. Like, I want to know what's in my future. But God is just saying to you, are you alive? Like, have you experienced that new life? Are you alive? Have you experienced the miracle power? Have you experienced the grace of God? Have you come to see that there's nothing more important in life than coming to new life in Christ? And if so, if you've seen the cross, are you willing to put your yes on the table? Even if you don't know all of the details. I haven't lived a super long time, but what I've already learned in my life is that if God showed me all the details, I'd probably be tempted to take that yes off the table. If I'd seen all the twists and the turns in the story, I'd probably have second thoughts about whether or not it would be worth it, whether or not I wanted to say yes, completely surrender to God's plan. But if my why is established, if I pushed all my chips in, I'm all in, God, and I know what my life is about, if I know what's most significant to me, then I can trust God. And at the foot of the cross, I can say, I don't know where this is going to lead. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I do know that it will be worth it. And because it's worth it, I will keep my yes on the table, no matter where I'm at now. Well, the third thing that's going to be true for all of us if we join Paul in this mission, and we have this why in our lives, is we're going to have to keep telling our story again and again and again. That's why we did Easter the way we did last week, where you sat at a table with people maybe you knew, maybe you didn't know, and you shared your story. This is what Jesus is doing in my life. And that's really all God is asking of you and me today. We're going to see that Paul, really powerful in these last few chapters. But God isn't asking you to be the greatest theologian of all time. Maybe you do want to be the greatest theologian, but go for it. But God isn't asking all of us to do that. He's not asking you to necessarily be that missionary that travels to the places of the world where no one's ever been. He might call some of you to that. I'm sure to go somewhere that you weren't thinking you were going to go and tell people about Jesus. And he might not be tasking you to be the pastor of a church or to start some Christian organization, but he is asking you to tell your story again and again and again. Because that's how Acts is going to continue to unfold today. That's how our story moves on. It's not by Paul telling his story or us telling Paul's story. It's not by Barnabas telling his story. It's by you and me telling our story. Wherever we are, to whoever is standing in front of us. Because every one of us has a story to tell. I've met so many people. I talk about this often. And they come to me and they're like, you're a pastor. You're used to talking in front of people. Like, that's your thing. Like, you do it all the time. That me, like, I'm not comfortable sharing that. You're good at explaining the gospel, and that makes sense, but I'm not comfortable. You know, explaining to the people from the bus, I'm not good at talking in front of crowds. And I've had other people, they come and they're like, you know, I don't even really have a powerful story. Like, remember that guy that once came to our church and he had this terrible background and God saved him from all those horrible things and now he's got this powerful testimony, but not me. Like, I can't see myself really having a story to share. And when I talk to these people, I want to always bring it back to this. If you have a story of grace, then you have a story of grace to share. And when people say, well, I don't have that powerful testimony, then I look them right in the eyes and then I say, you need to get saved. You need to meet Jesus. Do you want to meet Jesus right now? Because being saved means that God found me when I was dead and brought me from death into life by the power of the Holy Spirit and the gospel. And anyone who's experienced that journey has a powerful story to tell to the whole world. And that story works itself out. Remember, it's the daily power. We called it that persistent power, the power that's there for every single moment in life. And then you can say when we were going through this tough stretch in our marriage, this is how God worked out. When my parent was going through cancer, or I lost my wife, or my kids were having trouble, this is how God sustained us. And that's that grace story that is your story of God's faithfulness in your life that cannot be denied by anybody. It can't be refuted. No one can say, well, God didn't save you. God didn't bring you through. Like, he did, because that's how you're here and that's how you carried the story. So keep telling that story again and again and again. So if we have the same mission and the same sense of why as Paul, the fourth thing that will be true of us is that we know our faithfulness will eventually lead to fruitfulness. And when I say that, I mean, there's going to be seasons of our lives where it looks like we're just planting, where we're just plowing the field and doing the same thing over and over. God, God, send someone. God, God, would you send someone? And we keep plowing. There are seasons where it doesn't look like any major activity is happening, that we don't see the breakthrough miracle power. The seeds are in the ground, but they haven't sprouted yet. And we have to know that in every season, as we're being faithful, God is setting things up around us. And ultimately, there's going to be this incredible fruit from our faithfulness on that journey. So as we read through the last couple of chapters of Acts, we're going to move into there, Acts 21 with Paul. Here's where he's at. He gets arrested in Jerusalem, and this time they're determined that they're going to take him out. Like, Paul has given us enough trouble. This time we're going to kill him. And Paul knows this. And so he lets it be known that he's a Roman citizen. And all of a sudden, that's a game changer for him because it gets him transferred to Caesarea, where the Roman governor is in charge. And that Roman governor puts him in jail. And Paul stays there for 2 years. Think about it. For 2 years, Paul's off the radar. He's out of sight and has possibly the temptation to think the same as you and I would. God, did you forget about me? But no. Felix, the governor, he goes out of power, and Festus, another governor, he comes into power. And when Festus comes into power, he's visited by Agrippa, the king. And when the king arrives, Festus remembers, oh yeah, there's this Paul guy. He's in the jail. He's been there 2 years, and he's got this crazy story of some guy raising from the dead and this story of the gospel. And the king says, hey, I heard about him. I'd like to meet him. Like, can I talk to him? Like, that'd be kind of cool. And just like that, after 2 years of radio silence, Paul is standing before a king. Remember what was spoken over him in Acts chapter 9? When Ananias, at the beginning of Paul's ministry, Ananias went to visit him, and God said, go to this man, speaking about Paul. He is my chosen instrument to carry my name to the Gentiles and to the people of Israel and to their kings. And now that moment has arrived. 2 years in jail, and all of a sudden, in 2 minutes, he's standing before a king. And I want you to know, as you're sitting there, that the seasons of faithfulness in your life, they are going to produce fruitfulness. They are going to produce fruitfulness because God is always working behind the scenes to organize our lives and to set up the opportunities in His time. If you're faithful, He will make you fruitful. And if you have a mission and a why that is clear, then you're going to get your opportunity just like Paul did. You're going to get your shot. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know by what circumstances that'll happen. But you're going to find yourself in a moment, and it's likely going to be someone asking you, can you tell me why? Can you tell me why you have so much hope? And in that very moment, you get to seize the opportunity to tell your story again. And that's what Paul did, standing in front of the king. And the king says, what's going on with you? And you know what Paul does? Paul does exactly what we just talked about. He stands up and he tells his story again. Acts 26. He says, I was on the road to Damascus. I was going to persecute Christians, but I met Jesus on the way, and I saw a revelation of his glory, and everything changed for me, and I became a follower of Jesus Christ. And in that moment, it's so interesting what happened. The king looks at Paul and he says, this guy's out of his mind. And then he says to Paul, what do you think? Like, you're going to tell me your story once and I'm just going to get saved? After one conversation with you? And Paul looks at him and he says, it doesn't matter whether it takes a short time or a long time. My desire is that everybody will become just like me. Maybe without the chains. Paul was saying, you're a king. You've got the whole world in your hands, but I've got the gospel. So I've got freedom, and I have grace, and I have a relationship with God. And I'm in the same place I was at the beginning. And he tells us what that place was when he writes to the Philippians. He says, I want to know him. I want to make him known. I want to know Jesus, and I want to make him known. So my mindset has changed. My yes is on the table. I'm going to tell my story again and again and again. And even if I get rejected, I mean, the king said, like, what? You think I'm going to come to Jesus by one conversation? And so Paul, he's the apostle. And the apostle, the great apostle Paul, got a no. So that means not everyone is going to say yes to you if you ask them to put their trust in Jesus. But it's not up to us to look for the yes or the no. It's up to us that we give people the opportunity to discover the power that can raise them from the dead. And lastly, Paul knew that his faithfulness ultimately would produce fruitfulness. And he took his opportunity when it came. I think when I read this story of Paul in front of the king and left in prison and brought back to share his story, I think it leaves me looking in the mirror. Looking at myself. I think it leaves us all looking in the mirror. What is my why? What is the most significant thing that I can do with my life? And I pray that everyone here would get closer to that today. If we could truly, genuinely say, my why is to do whatever I can with my life, to be a part of seeing someone else come to new life in Jesus, there is no greater reward on this earth than an eternity in that. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you for your story. I know today that I didn't talk much about the story, but I talked about the why that you wrote in this story, of a great man who wrote great books, and a huge portion of the world follows the teaching that he gives about you, learning what a relationship with Jesus looks like. And as we read his story, as we talk about who he is, we discover that nothing was more important to him. Nothing at all was more important to him than the why. Than what you wrote. My life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me by Jesus. The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. So today I ask that you would give us the same why. Why do we do what we do? Why are we called to make disciples? And as a church, why are we gathering? What is the reason for all of this? Why? God, would you give us that why? Would you send your Holy Spirit? Because we know, empowered by the Holy Spirit, we lead people to grow in God's family. God, we know where you have placed us, so help our why to be evident. And God, as we review these other things, help us to put our yes on the table, no matter what comes in front of us, that we would always say yes. Help us to be ready to share our story again and again and again. And God, help us to see the fruitfulness that our faithfulness is producing. Make it evident to the world around us so that they can question what's going on here and they can come and find out about the why. They can learn to put their yes on the table. They can have a story of their own to share. And then they can also see fruitfulness in their faithfulness. Let that pattern repeat over and over and over again, starting with us right here, starting in our hearts right now. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, in my opinion, it's useless to learn something if you don't have a place to practice it. So I want to throw another discussion question up on the screen. And I want you to talk amongst each other. If you're brand new to this, that's totally okay. Listen to the answers. But if you've been in this one for a while, I want you to deeply think about this question. In what ways do your goals in life serve the mission of God? So take the next few moments, talk about this as a group, pray about it as a group, and see where God takes it. And I will see you again next Sunday.